Good morning. It is good to see you all. Today, we are continuing our series, Home Sweet Home. And the entire purpose of the series is putting the sweet back in our home and back in our home church. Home Sweet Home. I just love that concept, and I love that. And part of the series, if you've been with us from the start, you recognize that I've taken every idiom and cliche about homes and like statements or slogans or whatever, and those are the titles of the sermons throughout the sermon series. And so today, I really loved this verse, and I came up with this title of the message that's another home idiom. But in 1 Peter 1:17, it says, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites." So Patty, we're equal before God. You're not better than me. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as, everyone say it, I think it's on the screen. What's that last part?
Temporary residence.
Temporary residence. This verse was really popping out and stuck out. And it's kind of interesting because really, a lot of us have different goals, but one of the goals I would say is just building like permanency in this life, building strong homes, right? But in this verse, it says temporary residence. And I thought, what a better connecting title for temporary residence as House of Cards, right? How many have heard that saying before? A House of Cards. Usually it's to represent something negative, right? But in this verse, the Bible talks about, well, we're on this earth as temporary residents because God has permanency for us in this next life. Temporary residents. So this idea today, this message is based out of House of Cards. Jacob, don't kick this table. Okay? I'm just kidding. We have a bunch of cards set up as a little house on the table if you're listening. So today, I went through and I really looked at what are three aspects in building a house of cards and how does it filter to us as believers, as Christians, of the lives we are to build. So the three aspects of a house of cards are my 3 points. And also, if you did not get a bulletin, we have bulletins. Can you raise your hand really quick? And John Jackson is going to help out, pass those out. If you're missing a bulletin, can you just raise your hand? Those have the notes in them. I want to make sure you get them. They also have connection cards and more information. He raised his hand right after you passed them, so keep passing them out. Give him a couple. Take extra notes. So number one, the first thing you have to have in building a house of cards, can anyone guess it? Cards. That's the number one point. You can't start a house of cards without cards, right? You got to have cards. So number one, cards. Cards. And praying through this message and reflecting on everything, what to me the cards represent are what you're building. What are the aspects of your life? What are things that you're trying to put together? Some people, it's your job, it's your career. You're so focused in on trying to build up your career and do everything that you have focused on. Some it's family aspects, some it's children, some it's different. Schooling might be something you're trying to build. What are you trying to build in this life? And maybe as you look at this house of cards, you can think, oh, you know, this one is my friends. This aspect is my graduating school. This aspect is my career. And you can start looking at different things. What are you building? However, I think it's safe to, how many people have tried building cards into a house before? Have you ever just tried it? Who has never tried building a house of cards? You guys are missing out. You are missing out. You gotta try it. Well, I'll have extra cards up here. You can give it a whirl later. But one of the things that I find when building a house of cards is there is a frustration level involved. I don't know about you, but every time I build a house of cards, there's just someone with like just an impish smirk in the corner waiting till you get to a certain spot just to walk around. You know, and you're like, hey, stay away. You know, and so I was really thinking about
Well, how do you build something that's temporary without being frustrated? I think that's valid because in building a house of cards, it can be very frustrating. Because it seems like the bigger you build up and the more time you put into it and the more effort and the more energy and the more cards, like there's a frustration level that it could just come crumbling down. Likewise, in our lives, when we're working for something for so long and it crumbles down, frustrations arise, right? I'm not alone in this. So three ways to remove frustration. If you're taking notes, these are 3 points inside of my 3 points. Points on points today. That's how I roll. So A, first thing the Bible talks about in removing frustration or avoiding frustration is focus. Focus. Choose your focus. Luke 9:62 says, but Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's a rough statement. That's an ouch statement in the Bible. It's like, Jesus, I love you. Building without your full attention. I think this statement's really reflecting on the idea of it talks about putting your hands to the plow or putting your hands to the cards. It's putting your hands onto something you're building. When it talks about the plow, it's talking about plowing for seeds and soil of what's going to grow in this next season. But let's talk about the house of cards. With putting your hands and making it, there's a frustration level if you're putting it, but your focus is on over here and it keeps crumbling down. Okay? If you're not focused on what's at hand, there's a frustration because you could nick it, you could bump it, it could fall, it could crash, it could crumble. Your focus. And see, this verse, God's saying, anyone whose hand is on the plow, but your eyes are behind you, it's saying your focus is on your past, your focus is on things that happened to you before, your focus is on everything else but what God has called you to do. And it's saying, stop that. Focus on what's on your hands, what your hands are touching. Your hands are trying to build something and your past is trying to crumble it down. Focus, focus. All right, B, 3 ways to remove frustration. The first one is have your focus on what you're supposed to focus on. B, steady hand. Steady hand. Steady hand. If you don't have steady hands, you have to put it in right. You have to get it prepared. You have to build it up. Yeah, steady hand. 2 Chronicles 15:7. But you be, what does it say?
Strong.
Say it one more time.
Strong.
Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. That word, I looked up the translation. It means this. It's not just saying, hey, just be strong, have steady hands. It's saying, no, work towards that. That's a precursor word. That's a preparation word. That word is translated as to make strong, to strengthen, to press in. They're all parts of the definition. But you, strengthen what is weak. When you're building something, if you have a weakness in that aspect of your life that you're trying to build up, strengthen it before trying to build everything on that weakness. Example, if you have past hurts from family members and you try to avoid it while building on your current family, that's rough. You need to deal with what's going on and strengthen yourself, then start building up. Okay, I'll let that sink in. If you feel weak in an area, get help. Hit the emotional gym, the mental gym. Where you feel weak, strengthen it. Don't let your pride stop you from asking for help. Everyone got so quiet on that one. Everyone's like, no. See, the third way to prevent frustration, desire. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you have the drive to finish what you started? Like, I mean, how often have you been trying to do something and it's like, it just isn't happening, and it's so frustrating and so aggravating. You keep trying to fulfill something and do something and it keeps falling down. The desire to see that finish is what keeps you building it up. Desire and drive will keep you from frustration. You know, just giving up and say, oh, I don't need that part of it, it's fine. No, you'll live in frustration. All right, number two, going back to the house of cards. So first, you need the cards, obviously, right? You can't build a house of cards without cards. Cards represent the different aspects of what we're trying to build in this temporary resident life that Peter talks about. But number two, you gotta have a place to build the house of cards, right? So the second aspect is foundation. I would say one of the worst places to build a house of card is sitting inside of a car on a road trip. I've tried it, it doesn't work. Every like bump or turn, or your dad thinks it's hilarious to go over, like, you know, drift a little bit too far, and we're just like, grrr. Yeah, my dad would do that. You gotta have a good foundation. You have to have something solid where Jacob's not gonna kick it every couple seconds. I'm just giving you a hard time, Jacob. Foundation. I remember as a kid, we had these things, and it's the same word of what exists today, but it's not the same thing, okay? People this day and age don't understand what real video games are. I'm sorry, but I have to throw this out. How many people remember video games back in the day where you get three chances and then you're done and you start over? Like that's so frustrating, you know? Those old school videos. I remember I had this one video game that my Pat and I were just flat out addicted to. And if you died, you started over. That was it. Like, we would try to win and we beat it eventually. But I remember one time, there's this part of the game where has 99 floors in this one tower. And it's like, the developer was like, I'm just gonna make an impossible aspect of the game and it's just gonna be fun. And at the top, there's an Easter egg and you can see the creator's name. And anyways, we're like, we're gonna do it. We're gonna make this happen. And you get one shot. If you die or in the 99 level tower, one death, it's over. You can't save it, you can't pause it. It's just you from start to finish. So one weekend, it was like a 3-day weekend, Friday through Monday or whatever. And so Friday after school, we're like, this is it, Pat. We're gonna do it. We're gonna beat it. And we sat down, we played all night, woke up early, played all day Saturday, played all day Sunday, played all day Monday. Monday dinner comes. Okay, and we're at like level like 96, 97. We're like, we got this. Dinner's gonna happen, we're gonna beat it. The angels rejoice and we'll go to school. Like, it's gonna happen. We've never done it before. This will be it. And so we get there and we're sitting in the kitchen, we're eating. And all of a sudden, I just hear like this big crash and bang come from down the hall. And I'm like, my room is that direction. And Pat's just eating, and then John goes. John is just my other brother. He's just like, his face is emotionless. And he's like, you don't think something happened in the game. Like, that's the only thing he's registering. And I'm like, oh man. So we're like finishing, because you had to finish your plate before you can get up. So we're like, finish, throw in the sink, let's go. We go back. And you know, I realize it was my mistake now. But the video game console, because you know, they had these things back in the day that were called cords, and they're only so long. I had the console resting on the edge of the bed. I know. And the power plug was over there, but the TV was there. And so it was like right there, and then we wanted to sit on the bed, and so we had to sit like diagonal, and the TV was up here, and that was, and my cat, yeah. It's bed was right next to where the console was. I know. And so my cat got scared at some point, like something happened in the tower, and jumped, scratched, and left, and then that exploded off, and the power got unplugged, and I know, and the pack goes, let's plug it in, and maybe it'll still be there. And I'm like, you have so much faith. It was gone. I think, like, we didn't play for 3 years or something, and then one day, like much later, I had come home from college or something, my first year, and Pat's like, dude, let's do it. It was like some break, and we played through, and we beat it, and we got to see the glory of the 99th level. Anyways, foundations matter. If you don't have it put in the right spot, at the right time, at the right location, it's over. It's done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 really talks about foundations in the Bible and what our true foundation is. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Correct, Jesus. Like a person who built a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish. Like a person who built a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I think this goes without saying, but I think I'm going to say it anyways. What you are building needs to have Jesus as a foundation. Yeah, I think one of the sad things to see as a Christian is when someone accepts Jesus, they say, great, I have my life. And if you represent like the life like a house, like you have the kitchen, the bedroom, the living room, blah, blah, and all of a sudden you bring Jesus in and you're like, okay, I have a guest bedroom, Jesus. You can live in there, but don't touch the rest of my life. Okay, I see a lot of Christians do that. It's like, Jesus, I want you in this aspect of my life on Sunday morning from this time to this time, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and I love you, kumbaya, great. But I think if you've been around Christianity for a while, you understand that doesn't work out very well because your foundation is still shaky, still rocky, and not solid. You know, Jesus asks us to do is make him our foundation. Our foundation. So I was looking at a foundation. This just blew my mind. You know those like aha moments where you read something, you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Do you know when a foundation is put in place for a building, there's certain things that have to run through the foundation? You don't just open a bag of cement and go wild throwing foundation around. You have to plan it out because you have water, electricity, and sewage flowing through foundation. And I thought this was wild. No, hear it out. You have electricity that flows through the foundation. The foundation enables things inside the home to have power. You have things in your home that can't have power unless it's connected to the foundation properly. Oh, how good is that? Unless you have Jesus as your foundation, there cannot be any power functioning in your life. You need to be seated on the foundation to have power enabled. I'm talking about the power of God, that's a whole nother message, but I just want to give you a glimpse into this. Another thing, water, think about this. Water is seen in every culture, in every society of all time as something that brings life. The foundation brings life into the home. And you can even look at it in a deeper illustration and look at what do you use water in the home for? Use it to sustain life. Use it for baths and showers. For when you're dirty, you go into the water that with a foundation that cleanses you out, sets you up. I even think about this kind of gross, but it happens, true. Foundation is where the sewage flows through, right? Yep. All the other junk and crud inside the home flows out through the foundation. It's a channel for everything that doesn't belong in the home. Oh, man. Foundation. When you have Jesus as your foundation, he'll bring you life. help you live a righteous life. He'll enable you with power and all functionality. Not only that, he's a filter and removes everything that doesn't belong in the home. If you're really wrestling with one of those three areas, I would suggest praying this week and asking God to be the foundation of your home. If you're saying, man, I really want to see what the power of God looks like, try having be a foundation. All right, number three, house of cards. So in building a temporary residence and building a house of cards, one aspect that's completely overlooked most of the time, so you have cards, you have foundation, and the third thing is glue. Like if you want it to last longer and through the frustrations of falling down, you just need glue. You really just need something to keep it together. If you hit it hard enough, it will fall apart. But you need glue on it, right? Cheating. Yes, it is. You need glue. And so I really thought this was kind of interesting because I started looking up aspects of residence and temporary residence and building blocks in our lives and what God calls us to build. And he always mentions something with holding stuff together. When things crumble apart in our lives, he always mentions a word related to that crumbling apart. And I kind of illustratively put together is that's the glue that holds our situations together. Ready? Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the, say it? Say it again?
Hope.
We affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Hope. Hope is the glue in tough situations. Hope is the glue in aspects of our lives that want to crumble down. Hope is what holds us together. You know, sitting in areas where we're like, I just want to give up. This is not working. It's not happening. I don't get it. Hope for what's unseen keeps us there. Hope is the glue. I really dreamt in preaching this point that next time you're in a situation that maybe it's family, business, job, relationship, whatever it is, you'd be reminded of this. That when you want to give up or you feel like the house of cards is crumbling down, you just like have the illustration look of God using a hot glue gun and like putting it together like, no, I have hope this will happen. I know it. God gave me a vision of it. I have a dream for my life and it's gonna happen because God has a hot glue gun. We're in a temporary residence and it's gonna stick. Luke 18:35-43. It's such a wonderful story in the Bible. This is accurate and true. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Man, how many times... as a Christian, we think we're doing God's will, but in reality, we're preventing something. Pray before you make a snap decision. Told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received, what's that word? That's like the most powerful word of this entire paragraph. He received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Why is the most important word? Because it belonged to him in the first place. It was the hope of seeing that he had. It doesn't say he receives sight. It literally says his sight. That word is a belonging word. That word means, it literally is translated as owned. It was my thing, my possession. He possessed sight before he could see. Through the power of glue, through the power of hope. He had so much hope. When people that were following Jesus said, "Be quiet, stop yelling," he said, "I have hope that I'm going to see, and this guy's going to make me see, and I'm going to shout all the louder." It was the glue that kept his situation together. See, those disciples came by and they tried to slap his house of cards over. But see, there's glue known as hope holding it together, and they couldn't knock it over. Hope. I preached on this verse, I think I've said it around 7 to 9 times in the last 2 years. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, which reaches inside behind the curtain. Hope is an anchor for the soul. Just get that image. The Bible says that hope is literally what's cast out, and it's the anchor that holds it, holds us. And when it says it reaches inside behind the curtain, it's not only illustratively talking about the anchor into the ocean, which we cannot see, but it's actually spiritually talking about when the anchor goes into heaven and pierces right before God. We can't see into heaven, but our hopes and prayer anchors us to the will of God. Check out these quotes. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Martin Luther King Jr. Another one, what gives me the most hope every day is God's grace, knowing that his grace is going to give me the strength for whatever I face, knowing that nothing is a surprise to God. Rick Warren. And the last one is by Robert Schuller, says this, let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. Man, grasp that today. Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. Amen? We have a shorter message today. That was it. That was the end. But I want to worship God together. Just sing out in Cornerstone with the understanding of a house of cards. God is our foundation. He is our cornerstone. And I love that song because it also talks about hope in there, how to hope for it. Worship team, can you come up forward? I want to pray. And let's enter into worship. Lord, be our cornerstone. Be our foundation. Lord, your word says that we are a temporary residence right now, just like a house of cards. Things we build up are not permanent, but they do last the life that we have on this earth. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today, that you would remind us of our foundation, of our hopes. Remove the frustrations of things that have been crumbling before us. And let us not operate out of hurts, but out of hopes. Before we enter into worship today, I really feel like I need to ask this. If there's anyone here today with everyone's eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I have been building up. You know what? Things have been frustrating. But man, I want that foundation you talked about. I want Jesus a part of my life, not just in a corner, not just doing whatever, but I want him as the foundation. because I want to experience that power. I want to experience that life. I want that. I want that hope. If you're saying, I want Jesus as part of my life today, would you just look up at me real quick? I'm just going to look around. Okay, amen. I see your eyes. Amen. I see you back there. All right. Let's all pray this together. Repeat after me. Lord, I love you. Forgive me of my past. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand up and worship God today, singing as He is our cornerstone?